This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. With just 4 months to go before we close yet another tough year, the main thing in the minds of most people is productivity. Working from home can bring about a comfort zone and a stress of its own, but whether you're working from office or from home, having massive productivity in the final months of 2021 is everything towards achieving your goals for the year. To help executives and entrepreneurs do just that, Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab has a simple and yet potent formula to share. Good morning, Jeevan. Of course, always good to have you. The first Monday of every month, right? And September is a good month because that's my birthday month.
Always good to be here.
Anyway, many people do encounter a massive drop in their personal productivity working from home, whilst other people seem to be even more productive, right? Why do you think that's so?
Well, it really comes down to two things. At some point, you realize it will come down to two things, and that's structure and habits. So if you're going to work from home, you want to create a structure whereby everything actually works for you, from as simple as having an internet that works to a workstation, a workplace. And then, of course, habits, whereby you do certain things in a habitual fashion. Because in the office, there's a lot of habits already. For example, Monday morning could be telemarketing or the team meetings in the afternoon. And there are a lot of habits and routines that already take place in terms of what I would call corporate routines. So these are things that already happen. So when you're at home, you need to do that. But here's the thing, though. We've got 4 months to go till the end of the year, and it's been 2 years of a pandemic. And you imagine, it's been two whole years of this pandemic. And the big issue now is productivity. It's getting everyone to be extremely productive as we end the year on a high note. And you want to do that. Pick up the pieces and, you know, start to really win this. And one of the things I've noticed is, well, there have been two major hits. So people have encountered two major hits during this whole pandemic, and from the lockdowns to hybrids of working from home, working from the office and all that. The two major hits would be economic and psychological. So economic hits, yeah, it's very apparent. I mean, businesses have been hit, unemployment's all sorts of things are happening out there in the marketplace, all sorts of things. But what's not very apparent is the psychological hits. Like, for example, you notice that many people have started becoming a little lethargic. And they're going slower on their goals. They're going slower on pushing things for work. It's like, hey, it doesn't matter. Let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. That kind of conversations are going on. So you see, productivity has taken a huge dip. And this is a very critical area to pick things up now. You want to pick it up now. You've got 4 months to go. You want to pick it up. So to make it really simple and yet potent, I've come up with the 5 P's. For productivity. So very easy to remember. It's a very easy memory hook, the 5 P's of productivity. And you can take this to the office, take it to the team, work on it yourself. Very, very simple, very, very powerful, very potent. So it's a very important thing to do right now and to just get off the ground.
It's very interesting how you said the psychological side, right? Because yes, the economy, the psychological side, because, you know, even as we talk today, something will happen again tomorrow, you know, as it is, right? So how do you stay, I guess, you know, productive and consistent regardless of the situation, right? You know, a couple of questions before we get to the 5 P's as well. How can an organization be sure that the staff will be productive whilst embracing a harmonious hybrid of work from home and work from the office model?
Yeah, so one of the keys would be check-ins. And I tell this to my clients, I say, look, whatever you guys set with your teams, because work from home is a very popular model right now, and many businesses can actually get that done more effectively sometimes. And so whatever you do, one of the things is check-ins. How often do you have your check-ins? You've got to do sometimes the check-ins could be a daily check-in. It can even be twice a day. It can be every 2 days. But the first thing you want to start to put in place is all the check-ins so that you know, okay, there's that contact, that touching of the base, so that you can check in on each other and see what's the progress, what are some things that's required, what's needed. So check-in is a very critical component from all of this. The second thing is resources. So for those businesses out there that are encouraging a work-from-home model, you've got to make sure that the teams have the resources needed to get things done. Often, there's just insufficient resources, whether in terms of as simple as just internet connection, right down to tools available online, offline. in order to get the job done. So these are some of the things you want to start to put in place. Of course, there's mindset that comes in where people got to see these hours as working hours, and they got to see a task as a task that needs to be done by a certain time. So there's all these components, and the idea really is that when it comes to working, it's not so much about geography. I mean, your geographical positioning as to whether you're home or work, it's really down to productivity, right, which is what we're looking at. So that's really the key. We want to make sure you're as productive as possible so that you get so much done. You get more done in a day than most people would in 3 weeks. That's really what you're looking at.
Okay, so what's the first P?
Okay, so the first P, so the five P's for powerful productivity during this pandemic. So the first P, P number one, the most important one probably, is purpose. So this is all about goals and objectives for the remaining 4 months. Your purpose, you want to be a person that's purpose-driven. So you want to know the what and the why. So what is it I want to achieve in the next 4 months, and why do I want to achieve that? So this is where we're at this point in time in the organization. So what do we want and why do we want that? So being purpose-driven and not panic-driven or fear-driven or anxiety-driven, and that's where a lot of people are at the moment. I've had cases where people tell me, you know, their heart just beats fast when they think about work. They're just extremely stressed out. So you know, people are in panic mode and they're very anxious. They're worried about the economy, worried about the business, worried about clientele, all sorts of things. So instead of going down that road, you want to be purpose-driven. So you want to start, take out a sheet of paper, for instance, and just write down all the objectives you want to achieve in over the next 4 months. We've got 4 months more till the end of the year. So what are some objectives that you must achieve in these 4 months, personally as well as corporately for the business as well? So purpose is the first of the five P's. And if you don't have a purpose, what will happen is you will drift. You will drift to the current of the moment. And it's like a piece of wood in the river, you know, that just goes wherever the river goes. So if you don't have a purpose, you just start drifting all over the place, you know, and you'll be following other people's agendas. So you want to sit yourself down and write down exactly what it is you're going after. A lot of magic happens once you have a purpose, because your brain starts focusing. And I actually tell my clients, write down the things that you want to work on and achieve, and print it out and stick it up on a wall and keep looking at it. So your subconscious mind takes photographs of that list all the time. So you're constantly, is at the back of your mind constantly what it is that you want to achieve. Now, I've got my list on my bathroom mirror even. So it's just there in my face all the time. And your subconscious mind gets, so you'd be surprised how many times, every time you glance at it, your subconscious mind is taking photographs. And then it starts giving you ideas, strategies. You could suddenly wake up in the morning, you get an idea on how to achieve one of your objectives and things like that. So that's the first P, purpose. You got to be purpose-driven. So that's the first one. So if you want to get productive out there, the first thing you got to do is you got to be purpose-driven. So that's number one. Number two is plans. This is known as the great how. So, you know, how you're going to go about actually getting all those objectives. So the thing I want to talk about here is a form of thinking I was taught about 21 years ago, and I think it's such an incredible form of thinking. It's called fractal thinking. So what is fractal thinking? Fractal thinking is breaking something down to its smallest components and then building it up. For example, if you look at business and people say, coach, how do I be successful in business? So I break it down for them. I do fractal thinking. I say, look, business is ultimately only about two things. That's it. And that is capture and keep customers. So see what I just did? I did fractal thinking. I broke it down into two main areas, capture and keep customers. So they go, oh, yeah. So everything you do is about capturing customers and keeping your customers coming back again and again and again. Mm. So that's fractal thinking. Then you say, for example, someone says, Frida, how do I be really good at playing badminton? Now you can fractal think that. Say, look, you want to be good at badminton, it's about eight things. So there's usually half a dozen to one dozen things. There's eight things. One is, okay, your service, how you serve. Two, smash. You'll be good at smashing. Three, footwork. Four, stamina, and so on and so on. So fractal thinking is a great way to do it. When you do planning, you want to do fractal thinking. You want to start breaking things down. Break it down into all its different components and build it up. So essentially in planning, there are two categories. You're looking at two main categories. The first one is time-driven. Example, you're planning monthly, weekly, daily. You're planning the things you're going to do each month. You're planning your month. You're planning your week before you start your week. You plan your month before you start your month. And you plan your day before you start your day. So that's the time category. The second category is areas. So you're going to plan areas. For example, marketing is an area Sales is another area. So you look at all your planning in sales, look at all your area planning in marketing. Recruitment could be another area that you're planning. HR can be an area. Admin, accounts, operations, management. These are all areas. You know, inventory can be an area. Purchasing can be an area. So you can break things up into areas and time, and then you do your planning. But planning is the second P for productivity, because what I find, many people may know what they want. They're very clear about what they want, but they have no plans how they're going to get it. They've got no plans, you know, and that's why they trip up, because they don't have any plans.
It's really interesting how you're saying that, okay, you got to have the purpose, and then when you break it out, you need to have plans. But everything is so muddled in the head. So by the moment you break it down and say, okay, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, there's more clarity on how to move forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the best part is it gets easier.
Right, it gets easier. We're talking about the 5 P's for powerful productivity during this pandemic with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Stay tuned as we continue with the rest of the P's right after this. Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. It is the first Monday of September. Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab is here. We're talking about the 5 P's for powerful productivity during this pandemic, with 4 more months to go before we close the year. So we talked about the 5 P's. We talked about the first P, which is purpose. The second P, which is plans.
Yep. So the first one, purpose. Second one, plans. The third one is preparation. So many people don't win because they don't prepare to win. This is interesting. So when for example, let's say you go on a diet, the great diet everybody gets on at some point, especially with all the lockdowns, everyone wants to get on a diet. So you go on a diet, but then your fridge is still stocked to the brim with junk food. So even though you've got the purpose, you've got the plans, but you're not prepared to win. So this is the thing. So preparation is everything. And I tell my clients, hey, look, you can have a great purpose and all your objectives laid out, your plans, all that, but you got to prepare. You got to prepare to win. So, for example, what am I talking about? Let's take a look at some of the things you got to prepare. Number one, prepare your environment. So how do you prepare your environment so that you can win? For instance, if you want to get a lot of sales in, you want to get some salespeople on board, and you want to prepare the environment for them to perform, get a desk in the office, or if they're going to work from home, how are they going to do it? So prepare your environment so that you can win. So the first one, you prepare your environment. Second, prepare your tools. What kind of tools are you going to use? You've got to prepare all the tools you're going to use to get the job done. Third, prepare your team. Prepare the team, you know, for all the things that's required. You know, what are all the things required for the team to do? Prepare the team. Prepare your resources in terms of money, time, whatever you need. Prepare your processes. Are there processes that will support the activities that you're going to do? What are the processes? What sort of systems are you putting in place in order to get it? So preparation is a very powerful thing that to increase your productivity. You want to make sure you're fully prepared. And the Olympics that recently happened, it's a good example of that. Mm. The people who won are those prepared to win. Then you look at their training regimes, it's insane. Some of these guys, like for example, you look at Usain Bolt, the way he runs, and everyone thinks it's genetics or he's gifted. But if you watch his training videos, I mean, this guy wasn't just born a runner. If you watch his training videos, I mean, he runs till he pukes. You know, he falls on the ground and picks himself up again. It's extremely intense. Michael Phelps swims 7 days a week. Every day he's swimming. His preparation's intense. So you want to make sure that you're preparing. So you've got the purpose all laid out. Your objectives are very clear. You've got all your plans and how you're going to do all of this. Now you're preparing everything to make sure you win. So it's almost as if you now expect to win. You'd be surprised if you didn't. You expect now to smash your goals, and you would be totally surprised. That's the level of preparation you want, that you'd be totally surprised you didn't. Like Usain Bolt would be totally surprised if he didn't get a goal. That's how it is. That's the level of preparation that he's put in place, and that's how important it is. So that's number three. Then comes number four.
So in that case, in terms of preparation, it's like if you talk about that diet thing again, have a look at your fridge, right? Have a look at the fridge. What do you need? What do you need exactly. To get rid of, right? What do you need to replace it with, right?
Exactly. And let's just give you an example, okay? So someone says they want to do a keto diet or a vegan diet. If you want to do a vegan diet, why is there all the chicken in your fridge? You know, you got to get rid of it. If you want to do a keto diet, then what's all that carb doing? Why did you buy bread yesterday? You know, that sort of thing. And this is the thing. So see, the intention is there, but the preparation isn't.
Okay.
So so in other words, you've actually prepared not to win. And you'll always go in the direction of your preparation,
right,
not your intention.
Right. You always go in the direction of your preparation, not your intention. Wow.
Yeah. And you're always preparing. So a person who really wants to lose that weight would have prepared by getting rid of the junk food from the fridge. But if you didn't, that means you're preparing for your snacks, your emergency meals, your all that other stuff that's just not going to help you. So that's interesting. So preparation is a really big one. Then comes number four,
mm-hmm.
performance. So now you've got to perform. Now, for this one, I want to introduce a very interesting concept here called PERT, P-E-R-T. PERT. So what's PERT? So see, when it comes to performance, now you've got to perform everything that you said you're going to do. So PERT is an easy way to look at it. PERT stands for Performance Evaluation Review Technique. It's a NASA technique. It's just from NASA. And so NASA used this when they want to put the astronaut on the moon. So what it is Performance Evaluation Review Technique. What it is you work backwards. So you begin with the end in mind. You start with the end and then you work backwards. So for example, let's say you want to do 5 million in revenues by December 31st. So you look at that. You start at the 5 million revenues. We've achieved 5 million revenues. Now, what happened 1 week before that? What happened 1 month before that? What happened 6 weeks before that? And so on and so on. So what were all the things we did that led up to that? You see, so this is interesting. So you're working backwards. You're looking at every aspect that happens. Now, what's interesting is most people work forward. They start from today and they do all the things until they reach the goal. But if you start as if you've already achieved it, you develop that consciousness that you've already got it, and you work backwards, what happens is you kick in your right brain. If you start forward and you work forwards, you're kicking mainly just the left brain. So by doing a PERT, you do right brain and left brain. You've got both sides now working. You've got the creativity components, you've got the logical components. And this is interesting because it's quite a fascinating way to do things. PERT it properly. And when you do that, you find you get a lot of ideas. Say, okay, 1 week before the deadline, what happened? 1 month before, 2 months before, 3 months before. And then suddenly you look at today, you start seeing things differently already because you did a PERT. So performance evaluation review technique. So when it comes to performance, you want to be able to see things clearly. The second thing is monitor your performance and adapt. Many businesses, they don't monitor performance. They don't monitor that. So you want to take a look at it. You know, monitor all your performance in all the important areas and adapt accordingly. Are there changes you need to make? Make the changes to increase your performance wherever necessary. So I put it this way. I say this, test and measure everything. So for example, someone will ask me this question. So coach, what do you think about the sales script? I will always answer the same thing. I say, I don't know. Let's test it. We've put in some good principles here. We put in some good stuff into this, but let's test it and we measure. So we have script number one. We have script number two. We have script number three. We test and we measure. We test and we measure. And we keep doing that. Because you don't know. You don't know which pricing is going to work, which headline is going to work, which ad works better. Will Instagram bring you better results than Facebook? Will TikTok give you way beyond anything else? We don't know till you start testing everything. So when it comes to performance, remember this, arrogance kills sales. Arrogance always kills sales. You don't want to be arrogant that your way is the right way. You want to test. And you want to measure, you want to take a look, measure your performance every step of the way and adapt accordingly. Measure your performance. So this is very, very powerful because you can change things very quickly when you start measuring. So I tell people, hey, you got to get really clear. Now, you want your productivity to fly, make sure you take stock of your performance. Make sure you take stock of it and you don't arrogantly say, I'm the best and I'm just going to do it like that. No, you got to take stock. You got to look at the feedback. You may think your fried rice is really good, but the customer doesn't like it. So you want to measure that performance. You want to survey your clients and say, hey, are you doing a good job or not? So that's the fourth P. And now we come to the final one, an interesting one. The last P for productivity is praise. The praise. So what is this? So celebrate all wins, big or small. Praising, this is the dopamine effect. So when you praise yourself or you praise others, you secrete dopamine in your brain. And dopamine is that feel-good hormone that makes you want to do more of the same. And so you got to praise yourself. You want to praise your team. Encourage people. I have a typical Jeevan sentence here, and here it is. An ounce of praise is greater than a ton of criticism. That's a big one. An ounce of praise is greater than a ton of criticism. So many bosses like to use criticism to motivate an employee. But sometimes you want to see, a small amount of praise can get them flying. You can see that in kids. You praise them for something, for getting even a C or a B, and they'll study even harder for an A, that sort of thing. It's amazing when you see that in kids. And of course, the trick is it's got to be genuine. You don't want flattery where it's false, You want to be a genuine praise. Say, hey, look, that's a really good report that you've done, and I'm impressed. It's going to help me a lot. That's going to make the person work even harder and do even better reports. It's amazing how far praise can actually go, especially when it's genuine. So, and also yourself. I think people beat themselves up too much, especially with this pandemic. Everyone's been incredibly hard on themselves and beating themselves up to a pulp. And I'm saying, hey, look, many people have achieved so much. They've done so much, actually, but they don't even praise themselves. They don't even take a look at it or even celebrate it. I celebrate everything, small wins, big wins, medium-sized wins. I'll celebrate anything, So you want to celebrate all your wins, Take a look. What have you won in this year, this whole pandemic year? What have you won? There's a lot of things. Yes, businesses may be hit. Revenues took a dive. But what did you win? You came out of it on a very good note as well. So now you've got 4 months to go. You want to complete the journey. Completed and ended on a really high note. So these five.
How important is discipline and willpower in getting our productivity up as we finish the last 4 months a year? Discipline and willpower, that's the big one.
Here's the thing, and this is a little twisted. They're both incredibly important. However, there's something even more important than discipline and willpower, and that is your imagination, your visualization, seeing something. So let me put it like this. Let's say you're fasting, okay? And I put an amazing fried rice in front of you. It smells awesome and everything. And you're like, whoa! And I say, come on, use some willpower and don't eat this fried rice. And you're like, oh my goodness, I want to eat this. And you've got to use a lot of willpower and discipline not to eat the fried rice. But if I instead just introduce you to you this, and I said, now, Frida, I want you to imagine that before I brought the fried rice to you, I want you to imagine that someone actually spat in it, and it fell on the floor and it was picked up, and there was some mud on the floor and it fell down, and you're imagining all that, and now you won't even touch it. You wouldn't even touch it. See, that's the power of imagination.
Right, and you just killed my desire for fried rice for the rest of my life.
There you go. That's how powerful it could be. So you're like, wow. So that imagine, the mind is such a powerful force. So that imagination can change everything. So imagination, and the other one is habits. So imagination and habits trump discipline and willpower. You see, when you put a habit, for example, as soon as you walk into your house, there's a habit. You may walk to the fridge and eat something. That's a habit. That could be something that you do. So what if you walk in the house and you drop everything and you go for a run? That's another habit. So you see, while discipline and willpower are very important, you got to realize that imagination and habit trump that. So you want to visualize the success, visualize yourself doing the 5Ps, see it so clearly, and you want to put all those habits in place that will get you doing it. So these 5Ps are actually something that's going to tremendously fire up your productivity, get you flying. And here are the 5Ps again. Purpose. The first one is purpose. You've got get all your objectives in place. And so your goals and objectives, exactly what you want. Second one is plans. Plan everything out. Leave nothing, no stone unturned. Third one, preparation. Make sure everything you plan, you've prepared to win. You got everything you need to prepare yourself. Fourth one, performance. Perform and monitor your performance as you're moving forward in your productivity. And the last one, praise. Celebrate everything.
So you've talked about the 5Ps. You talk about the imagination. What's the number one killer of productivity?
The number one killer of productivity. This is interesting because I do get asked this question a lot. And the number one killer is actually indecision. When a person can't decide anything, they sit on the fence that they start procrastinating everything. So indecision is the number one killer. So if you really want to trump productivity here, you want to beat it, the first step, that's why the purpose step is such an important step. So indecision, it starts the ball rolling. So indecision can kill your productivity. Like let's say for instance, you want to go to Penang, but you just can't decide which hotel you want to stay in. You won't go. So you just end up, may not go. So there goes the productivity again.
Okay. Okay, so, and here's the thing, right? Because I have plans to go to Penang and I know which hotel I'm going to go and stay in. I just can't get there.
You just can't, you can't get there with all the busyness in place. There you go. So there you go. So five piece, let's get everyone winning this year. Let's get them to win.
Thanks for that. And of course, that was Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab talking about the five P's for powerful productivity during this pandemic, with 4 months more before the year concludes. You've been listening to Enterprise, the FM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.